Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to be with you this morning. I'm glad to be back. 2 weeks ago when I was supposed to be here, I was sick. Father CJ covered for me. Whatever he said about me is not true. Someone asked if the tallest priest in the diocese had the shortest priest cover for him. So the short answer to that is no. There's actually priests taller than me, and there's priests shorter than Father CJ. So. But nevertheless, great joy to be with you today. Two themes for today is going to be the crucifix and the temple. So the crucifix with our second reading, the temple with our gospel, and first reading. So crucifix and temple. One of the things that you should never do when you go to someone's home is comment on their artwork, right? Particularly if you have criticisms of it, right? Sometimes you learn things the hard way, right? Don't go to someone's home and critique their artwork. One of the things that us priests can sometimes struggle with is maybe going to a brother priest church and then saying and commenting on, you need to change this. Why isn't, well, nevertheless, we get political, we get judgmental, which we shouldn't do, right? But the questions of like, how come you haven't renovated? How come you haven't done this or this? Or why do you have carpet from the 70s or something like that, right? And priests, we get into judge of what is in your church? What does it look like? Is it beautiful or not? One of the things I'm grateful for here is that I came after a renovation. Father Brian just recently renovated this. And the joke of the companions was whenever he would come for Lord's Day, we'd have Lord's Day, share graces at the end of Lord's Day dinner. And the joke was Father Brian would share his grace and be like, and donate to our capital campaign, right? Every Mass, he was like, and donate to our capital campaign. So I'm sorry that he had to ask for all your money, right? But it paid off. It's a really beautiful church, and we have an amazing crucifix here. If you've never prayed before our crucifix, I encourage you to do so today. Sometime this Lent, Good Friday, come and kneel before our beautiful crucifix here. What I'd like to propose to you today with regards to the cross, and this is what St. Paul is proposing to us in Corinthians, in his letter to the Corinthians. The cross redefines everything about our life. The cross redefines everything about what it means to be a Christian. A whole new redefinition. Life, oftentimes, we think, I just need to get ahead. I need to get that next promotion, that next job, more money, more pleasure, more power, and then I'll be happy. The cross redefines that for us, and I want to get to that in a minute. One of the things our culture likes to present, especially with advertisements, with commercials, is if you buy this product, it will redefine everything. So think of car commercials, right? Especially maybe some higher-end car commercials. The way that they sell that, the way that they advertise that often is, if you buy this car, it changes everything about the driving experience. It's not just you get in and, yes, I have this cool car. Absolutely, that's a part of it. But if you buy this car, you'll be happier. It'll redefine the whole way you experience driving in that car, in cars in general. St. Paul's proposal today is when we look at the cross, when we see the cross for what it is, it redefines everything about what it means to be human, to be Christian. His language here is very, very tough. It's very challenging. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. I remember growing up going to a Protestant school. One of the things that they would often say is, Catholics are wrong because they worship the crucifixion. They keep Christ on the cross in their churches. Protestants are right, we're right, because we worship the resurrection. We take Christ away, down from the cross. But St. Paul is so clear here, we preach Christ crucified. This is everything for us, brothers and sisters. This redefines what it means to be human, redefines what it means to be Christian. He goes on. A stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles. Stumbling block, in the Greek, scandal, a scandalane. This is a scandal to the Jews. The Jews did not want their Messiah to die. The Jews thought the Messiah would come and he would be a ruler, a king. He would set the nation free, the Israelites free from slavery, free from the bondage of the Romans, from the bondage of the Egyptians as well. It's a scandal to them because the Messiah should not die. Why does God have to die? And folly for the Gentiles. The Greek word here, folly, or fool, is moros, which is where we get the word moron from. So next time someone calls you a moron, you can be like, hey, that's your Greek word for the day, right? Actually, if we have any sophomores here, sophomore, sophis, sophia, wisdom, moros means fool, right? So a sophomore is a wise fool, which is fitting because they think they know everything, but they don't, right? The wise fool. St. Paul is really challenging us here. The cross is everything. We preach Christ crucified, which is a scandal and is foolishness to the rest of the world. But it redefines everything for us. So maybe a couple of points with this, right? Jews demand signs. The Jews were demanding signs. What are signs? Signs are miracles. The miracles that Christ performed, they're signs to lead us to see that Christ is divine. We want that. Why did Christ have to die on the cross? That's not a sign for us in a certain sense. Wouldn't it have been more powerful if he came down from the cross? But Christ chose to lay down his life. What about wisdom? The Greeks, the Gentiles seek wisdom. Wisdom, in the way that St. Paul is talking about, wisdom of this time was meant to be really flashy. It's like a celebrity culture. If you're wise, you have a school of people following you. Everyone wanted to be following a certain teacher, and a teacher wanted disciples, people to follow after him. Wisdom was about being famous, being a celebrity. And the wisdom of God is so different from the wisdom of this world. God willingly chooses to be crucified, to preach Christ crucified, redefining what it means of our understanding of this. So, what else does it redefine? A couple of things specifically. The crucifixion redefines what it means to be a priest. The crucifixion redefines what it means to be married. The crucifixion redefines what love, charity is. How does it redefine priesthood, right? Priests in the Old Testament, we would take these animals in and they would be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins. Apparently the children, they were showing me, the children's liturgy of the word at the last mass, after mass they came up to me and they said, did you know you can't take a cow into church? So I don't know what they're learning down there, but something about driving out the temple, you know, driving the money changers and whatnot out of the temple. How does it redefine priesthood? Priesthood of the Old Testament is about sacrifice in that way. But the priesthood of the New Testament says there is only one sacrifice that happened. Jesus Christ is the perfect priest. There is only one priest. I'm not a priest. I share in Jesus' Christ's priesthood. So when I do something wrong, blame me. If I do something right, it's all for Jesus Christ because he is the one true priest. Because 2,000 years ago, he laid down his life as a perfect sacrifice on the cross through that crucifixion, redefining what it means to be a priest. What about marriage? This also redefines what it means to be married. Ephesians 5. Be submissive, be subordinate, a mutual subordination to one another. Marriage is Christ, the perfect bridegroom, dying on the cross, laying down his life for his bride, the church. That's what the cross is about. That's what marriage is about. Laying down your life for your beloved. This redefines what the definition of love is. Love isn't about getting ahead. Love isn't about the way that the world talks about it. Love is a death to self, a crucifixion, laying down your life for another. The cross redefines everything for us. Second point for today, the temple. One of the things that, the reason why the temple is so important for the Jews is because it's the place of worship for them. everything happens in the temple. You go to the temple, that's the dwelling place of God. It becomes that sacred space. One of the things that is so important for us, especially in Colorado, is we have this, in a certain sense, these sacred places outside, outdoors. The culture sees this and it says, we need to wall off or border off or make certain designated areas national parks, national forests. It's a way to say, this is beautiful, we need to protect this. This is the purpose of the temple. This is beautiful. We need to protect this so that we can have a sacred space to go and pray. The temple was the dwelling place of God. This is why, once again, we have these national parks. Well, I have to say, when the Jews would go to the temple to pray, it was a time for them to step away from the world. And part of the struggle with our life, if we're honest, brothers and sisters, is we sometimes try to look like the world. But we're not called to look like the world. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to be different. N.T. Wright has this great quote. When people cease to be surrounded by beauty, they cease to have hope. When people cease to be surrounded by beauty, they cease to have hope. When we fail, the church especially, when the church fails to protect itself, to guard against the ways of this world, to allow the things of this world to creep in and no longer be set apart, no longer be beautiful, we cease to have hope. Isn't this happening today? When the church begins to look like the world, people don't want to come here to church anymore. This is why we need beautiful spaces. This is why we need a temple where God dwells. God dwells here in the church, in the tabernacle behind me. And what's so beautiful is through your baptism, God dwells within you. You become a temple. So Jesus goes into the temple today to drive out everything that doesn't belong in there. It began to look like the world, to have the money changers, to have different things going on there that doesn't belong there. Brothers and sisters, the church is meant to look different. Today, God wants to drive out anything within you that doesn't belong to him. You who are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So maybe the last just connection with our first reading, we have the Ten Commandments. If you struggle to understand why do we have the Ten Commandments, you can look at the cross. The cross redefines it for us. God wants you to allow the Ten Commandments to live and dwell inside your heart so that as you follow them, nothing bad, nothing evil will come into the temple of your heart. So today as you approach the Lord, as you come to him, Lord, we come and we proclaim that you are truly crucified. We proclaim Christ crucified. And Lord, we ask today that you come into our hearts, that your cross would reign, that you would drive out anything from us that doesn't belong. Help us to live holy. Help us seek your beauty and help us to follow after you.